The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, Jill Serkin. We caught up with a lady called Meredith Powell earlier on in the week, and we had a long chat with her about business and sales and strategy. Why don't we hear what Meredith had to say? Hi, I'm now joined on the Business Bunker Show all the way from North Carolina in the United States by Meredith Powell. Good morning, Meredith. I know it's early morning for you there. How are you?
It is just 6 a.m. here in North Carolina. I'm great and excited to be here.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Why don't we kick off by you telling us a bit about Meredith and what it is you do?
Yeah, so I am a business growth strategist, which means my passion is really helping people understand how to take their businesses to the next level. I've got a bit of area of expertise in that I really love to help people understand how to turn uncertainty to competitive advantage. So today's marketplace is kind of ripe for me, and I do that as a keynote speaker. I used to travel around the world. Now I do things from my basement, but I also do some consulting and I'm a master certified coach as well.
Fantastic. Well, certainly we're in uncertain times at the moment, yes. That's for sure. And I'm sure it's the same in the US as it is here. Our audience are primarily business owners, small and medium-sized business owners. In the UK here, our economy and our business environment has been hit badly by the COVID pandemic and the subsequent lockdown. I'm sure it's similar in the US. So basically, we want to explore how we can get out of this and start to grow our businesses again and reestablish what we're trying to do. So I'd be interested to hear, first of all, your views on how business is in the US and whether it's a similar issue here. And then we can explore some of the ideas, maybe.
Yeah, so it is basically similar here in the U.S., and I think that smaller businesses and closely held businesses have been impacted the hardest.
Yeah.
They're really taking the brunt of them. Many of them here in the U.S. were forced to close when some of our larger businesses were allowed to stay open, and many are really trying to figure out. We've had quite a bit of aid here, which from the U.S., which is the government, which has helped some, but right now our stimulus package is stalled for the second go round. And as businesses look to winter coming and everybody going indoors, it is certainly going to be a challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. Very similar here. We've had a lot of stimulation from the government and fiscal packages. We had a thing called a furlough scheme in which the government paid 80% of salaries of workers that weren't working. As of September 1, that has changed, and they've now they're still a furlough scheme, but the furlough scheme has changed. They've reduced the payments, and now those people that are furloughed are allowed to work part-time. So okay. Some of those furloughed workers are starting to return to work, whether they physically go back to work or whether they work from home. So we're right at the point now where a lot of businesses are now trying to take stock and find ways of relaunching what they do and building sales pipelines, because, you know, for 6 months, all of that has gone away.
And
I know that one of your passions is the sales process. And I think that's something that I'd like to hear from you, is how you see that businesses can start to recover and build their sales pipelines again.
Yeah, there's, first of all, businesses can recover. I really want to emphasize that. As I had shared with you, I really started studying uncertainty a couple of years ago. Why we react so negatively to it. In fact, the research shows that we would rather know something bad is going to happen than have to live in an uncertain environment. Mm. So I started studying organizations, 9 companies here in the U.S. that have been around since the late 1700s, early 1800s, that are still thriving in business today. Mm. So they've made it through pandemics, world wars, everything, and they're still here. Yeah. And basically, I've got a 9-step formula for how to thrive in an uncertain marketplace. But to your point, one of those steps is the sales process. Mm-hmm. And I call it securing your base. So if you want to revitalize your sales pipeline, and who doesn't, but if you want to get it chock full and you want to be relevant in today's marketplace, I want you to start by calling your existing customers. I tell my clients, anybody that they've done business with in the last 3 to 4 years, I want you to pick up the phone, that crazy thing that we call a telephone. I don't want an email. I don't want anything like that. And I want you to reach out and just ask people how they're doing. Tell me what's going on in your life, in your business. When we do that, number one, we're letting our existing customers know we're still here. We still want to do business. The second piece of that is, if we just listen, our customers are going to tell us how their businesses have changed, what their challenges are now, which is going to signal you to how you need to change your product or service to be relevant in today's marketplace. Because if you want to fill your sales pipeline, you have to be relevant. What you sold before COVID has to change a bit during and post-COVID because your customers have changed.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I don't know if it's similar there, but here we've for a long time, we've been debating what we call the high street. So basically, small retail stores in town and city centers have been struggling in the fight with online and so on. One of the issues that quickly arose when we went into lockdown is how many retailers actually were forced to go online when they hadn't done it before. So one of the things we're going to see is a lot of people are going to realize that they're actually better off staying online than going back to a bricks and mortar store. So there's a change there. So you're absolutely right. You've got to find out what your customers are going to be doing, because they're going to be doing something radically different.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, it's the keynotes that I did, the books that I wrote, a lot of things that I did before COVID are just not relevant in today's marketplace. And if I wanted people to take anything from today, it's really understanding you have to be relevant. And the only way to be relevant is not to assume what your customers need, even though you may be right. It's to hear it from them so that you're using their language in your marketing. And if you're relevant to your existing customers, you'll be relevant to new business and new opportunities.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And of course, the more we talk to each other, the more we encourage each other and the more we stimulate, because business is an interconnected thing, isn't it? You know, it's a whole series of dominoes. And if one of us can start trading, then somebody else can start trading. And, you know, and we gradually reestablish the market in that way. So I love what you're saying. You're absolutely right. It is about reestablishing those relationships and listening to what our clients are now facing, now thinking about, and now are going to do. So I love that as a piece of advice. Thank you. From your point of view, talking about the new normal, what do you see as trends? Do you see any glaring trends emerging already, or is it too early yet?
No, I think there are definitely trends, and these trends are definitely going to stick. I mean, technology is a big one, right? I mean, you know, the thing about COVID is it eventually will be over. I mean, and we will want to go to the pub again, and we'll want to go browse and shop again and things like that. But technology is here to stay. So just like you said, you've got to have that online piece of your business. I mean, people are going to want to do access with you from their own home. I think another hard trend is real estate. You know, the fact that that I've got a client right now who, right before COVID, we were looking for office space and we were looking for warehouse space. Now he's just going to turn his office space into warehouse space and leave his employees at home. And so I think commercial real estate, I think those things are going to change forever. I think a lighter trend, a trend that's here that won't stick, is I think for probably through 2021, we'll kind of stay away from each other. You won't see as much hugging, or you won't see as much, you know, shaking hands or things. I think that will You know, I think those things will return, but I think that another trend that's going to stick is I don't think there will be as much travel.
Yeah.
I think especially business travel will cease. I think that business people have realized they can do things effectively without putting their employees or themselves on airplanes and things like that. And so the importance of looking at trends is all of our businesses have to morph and change. But the thing that I've really learned from studying history is there's so much opportunity to be successful right now. There's a lot of need in the marketplace. And small businesses, in my opinion, always sell themselves short. Your customers don't like dealing with the big guys. I mean, we've all had that experience where they tend to be not as personal and not care as much. So there's so much room here for small and closely held family businesses. You just have to be creative, and you've got to pay attention to what's going on in the marketplace and be open to change.
Absolutely. You nailed that as far as I'm concerned, Meredith. It's one of the frustrations I have in talking to business people. And I'm going to tell you something that's happening here at the moment in line with what you were just saying about commercial real estate. But people go, we're all going to die. We're all going to die because our business has changed and da, da, da. But they never look at the opportunity cost. They never look at the fact that, if you innovate, you could grab a whole chunk of something that nobody had before. And just coming back to what you were saying about this trend towards working more from home. Yeah. That's been a big issue in the UK. Okay, because everyone that has been working, well, not everyone, but a huge section of the population has been working from home. And of course, a lot of people have found that they quite like it in terms of saving. In the UK, a lot of people commute to work by rail, which is a drudge. You're spending 4 hours a day just sat on a train, which is incredibly expensive and time consuming. And they've discovered that they're better off and more productive working from home. There's two issues that have arisen out of that, which are quite interesting. One, it's had an impact on commercial property.
Yes.
But two, there's a huge number of people saying, well, look, if people don't come back to work in the cities, what about all the businesses that serve those businesses? So, you have an office block and then surrounding it are coffee shops and sandwich shops and restaurants, and they're all going to suffer through lack of footfall. My point is, welcome to evolution. Things change. The interesting thing about working from home, and I don't know what your experiences are with this, in the UK, I actually own a business called Fruitworks, and Fruitworks is a community workspace. It's a hot desking space.
Okay, sure.
In a small city called Canterbury, okay? And we've been there 9 years. One of the things that we're seeing is people are working from home, but they're getting very lonely working from home. So we're getting people come to work in our space for 1 day a week, 2 days a week, just for some company, just for some idea sharing, but they don't have to commute because they can walk from home to here.
Yeah.
Do you see anything like that in the US?
Yeah, quite a bit of it. I mean, there's the value of not commuting is huge. I mean, I think that workers are realizing it, and then business owners are realizing it too. I do quite a bit of work in California. I do it all virtually now. And California is one of those states here in the U.S. where the commute can just be drudgery. I mean, to really use your words. But people, we are creatures of habit, right? I mean, we're human beings. We like emotional connection. So it is going to be, how do you create culture and how do you create community, but still give people the freedom? And the thing that I think that you said is people are going to want to interact at least 2 to 3 days a week. That's what I see happening. Is that I'm going to want to work from home a couple of days, because some people who thought they would love working from home are now like, wow, 5 days a week and, my spouse is in the house with me. Maybe this isn't for me. Yeah. But people are going to want the flexibility. And exactly, the business has got to change. The thing about trends is if you spot them early enough, if you really stop trying to hold on to the way that business was done, and you really open your eyes to the way things are changing, change can be your greatest opportunity. It can be your opportunity to get out and have competitive advantage. If you wait, it's going to bury your business.
Yeah.
And so imagine what our, you know, especially you're in England, I'm in the US, we're not that old here, but you know, imagine what your businesses there who have lived through the amount of wars, the amount of economic downturn, the disease they have gone through before. Mm. They have morphed and evolved their businesses over and over again. Mm. This isn't new, and they've done it without Netflix, without Zoom. They've had to do it in isolated little areas and figured it out. We can do this.
Absolutely. If you look at the business environment here over a long period of time, those businesses that have survived, some of them more than 100 years old, those businesses that have survived have continually reinvented themselves. The ones that fail are the ones that hang on and hang on and hang on until all of a sudden they've got no market. You know, the classic of, you know, Eastman Kodak and companies like that, that you know, just stuck it out.
That's
too
right.
Long. Yeah.
Just didn't pay attention.
Yeah, absolutely. But what you were saying is absolutely true, and it takes us right back to the very first thing you said, that the way to find that innovation, the way to find that new opportunity is to talk to your customers.
Yes.
It's to talk to your clients, find out where they are, find out what they need now, find out what they want. That's fantastic stuff, Meredith. I want to kind of move along a little bit now and ask you your thoughts and feelings on leadership. Yeah, because at a time like this, what we need, in my opinion, is clarity of leadership. So I just want to get your thoughts and feelings on that from a business point of view rather than a political point of view. I know you guys have got a bit of a political thing happening at the moment, but we won't discuss that.
just a bit of a political thing. But yeah, I think that as business owners, we have to take the role of leadership very, very seriously. Yeah. And something that I've been sharing with my clients is that we've got to realize that the people that we're leading right now, we're leading more than just their business relationship with us. We're really leading their lives. I mean, people that work with us are going through a lot. We don't know what's going on at home. They could have a spouse who's lost a job. They could have older parents that they're fearful of their health situation. They could have two or three little kids that, you know, aren't going back to school full time. Mm. So people have a lot going on. And so I think there's a couple of things that you need to do when it comes to leadership. Number one is you need to provide a very clear vision for your company, and you need to articulate that. Where do you see the business in the next 2 to 3 years? We want to emerge successful from COVID. We want to really be a leader in our industry. Whatever it is, give people purpose and give them hope. The second is you need to care about them. You need to invest in them. You need to check in with them probably more than you ever did before in the past. So when you're talking about expectations at work, just take a moment and say, hey, Paul, you know, how are you doing? How are you feeling about things? Everything doing okay? We want people to care about our customers. We have to care about them. Mm. And the third is you need to give really clear expectations and accountability. If you have dead weight on your team, people who are not doing their job, you need to get rid of them right now. One of the beautiful things that COVID has done is this has made it an employer's environment.
Yeah.
Is that before this, we were all desperate to find talent. Well, now talent is going to be looking for work.
Yeah.
So you can't, there's no fat in your margins anymore. You can't carry people who aren't doing the job. So get your courage up, do what you need to do, be clear on the expectations. And if people aren't doing the job, let them go and move somebody else on there. Leadership is key. It's going to be the difference between whether you survive or whether you don't.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Your point about jobs and employees is nailed. I also own a series of job boards and have done for 20-odd years. And 6 months ago in the UK, we had intrinsically full employment and a massive – we had nearly a million unfilled jobs. Within the space of 6 months, a pandemic and a lockdown, it's completely flipped on its head. We've now got, we have a workforce of 30-odd million, but 7 million of them are currently working for the government on furlough. And I'm afraid that when that ends, we're going to see a massive rise in unemployment. So you're absolutely right. You know, employer's first task is to sort out who to keep, who they can let go, and how to man or woman going forward from there. So you're absolutely right. And again, that's a big starting point for when we come back. But it's also positive in some respects. It's never nice for people to be unemployed, for sure. But from a business point of view, looking at what you need, what talent you need, what skills you need, and who's doing an effective job is a great way to start rebuilding your business.
Yeah, it's. I always tell business owners, one of the only competitive advantages you have left in today's marketplace is the experience you provide your customers. I mean, because again, especially in the age of COVID, I can order anything I want to online. So the engagement I have with you is very important. And controlling the customer experience would be so easy if you were the only person who ever interacted with your customers, but you're not. Your employees are. Be selective. Be picky. Hold your expectations high. And if people don't meet it, move on and find people who will. This is an employer's market. Take advantage of it.
Yeah, absolutely. We're coming to the end of our time slot, Meredith. It's been fantastic talking to you. I want to ask you a couple of things just before we go. I want to ask you to give our listeners one key piece of advice.
Yeah, I would say that right now, one key piece of advice, I believe in this passionately, build your network and it will change your life. You need connections right now more than you need anything. So go to your LinkedIn profile, go to your old contacts, go start to re-engage people you haven't spoken to in a long time. Yeah. You are only one connection away from somebody who can help you solve any problem, any issue, any concern you have, but you have to connect with them.
Fantastic. And the other thing I'd like you to do is to tell our listeners how they can find out more about you. So if they wanted to read your books, find out how to contact you, what's the best way to do that? Is it a website?
Yeah, Paul, the best way to find out about me is to go to my website, which is valuespeaker.com, just the words value and speaker.com. If you go there, there's a purple bar at the top called Emerge Successful. If you click on that bar, it is chock full of free tools and resources for how to emerge successful from this crisis. Everything from sales to leadership, and my 9-step formula is there in video form.
Fantastic. We'll put that link onto the radio website so that people can find it. Meredith, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for getting up so early to talk to us here on an afternoon. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk to you again sometime soon, hopefully.
I would love that, Paul. It's been great being with you and been great being on the show.
Fantastic. Thank you.
This is Channel 2.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
That was a fantastic Meredith Powell there. Motivational speaker, business growth expert, and passionate about small business and sales and marketing. And fantastic insights into some of the things that we were talking about. We got lots of things still to cover. What you got, Jules?
Do you offer accredited green or sustainable environmental products and services? And do you want to reach out to more customers, we ask? Check out the new Green Business Hub platform, which you can find on 3Ws, greenbusinesshub.eco. I like that. .eco. And also there's a bounce back loan scheme, listener, which is going to close on the 4th of November. Many SME owners have benefited from this financial support. You can snaffle between 2k and 50k with no repayments for 12 months. 2.5% interest loans are available through at British B Bank on the Twitter lenders. More about that on british-business-bank.co.uk, and then you can do a little / and find coronavirus business interruption loans. Good one, that one.
Fantastic. I've had a tweet from a new follower, a new listener, and a new business called Local Desks, and that's their Twitter handle as well, Local Desks, and they're here to help drive the new normal by letting hosts capitalise on their empty desks and meeting rooms by renting them to remote workers by the day.
Good idea.
Yeah, so that's a cool idea, isn't it? Their website is localdesk.co.uk. Give them a follow on the Twitter, find out more about it, have a look.
More adapting.
Yeah.
Breachers have said the timely autumn webinar series will focus on the significant immediate mid and long-term issues for businesses adapting in the wake of the dreaded COVID-19 lockdown. Get expert advice and guidance on issues including how to manage business restructuring, alternative options to redundancy, we all need that, working capital and cash flow, and how to effectively utilise technical efficiencies and business strategy. As well as the expert solicitors, they are delighted to introduce a range of guest speakers who will be participating in the autumn webinar series. And they're all free to attend. So there's one which is Managing Restructuring and Redundancies, which is on Thursday the 10th of September. And you can go to their website, which is www.brachers.co.uk, /events autumn webinar series.
Cool. Tracy Ferguson is responding to some of the things that Meredith was saying just then. She says, exactly, Meredith, the businesses who are successfully navigating the marketplace are those who are asking, listening and responding to the new and emerging needs of their customers and clients. Absolutely. Absolutely.
There's a building resilience, which is for tomorrow. It's called Building Resilience, Now for Tomorrow. It's on Tuesday the 15th of September, which is next week, 10 till 11 a.m. And then you can listen to the Business Bunker afterwards. Our panellists discuss the importance of applying lessons learnt to move forward and maintain business operations, safeguarding your business and your people for the future. You can book by going to www.fforfreddy.sforsugar.bforbertie.org.uk/event/calendar/. I think the details are on your little website, aren't they?
They are indeed, yeah.
Yeah. Go to Kent Business.
Kentbusinessradio.co.uk or bizradio.co.uk, either one works.
The FSB Kent also have sent in a message saying they're running something on Wednesday the 21st of October, 10:30 to 12, how to effectively manage your finances and your mental health. The virtual event will explain financial support options that are available to you and signpost mental health resources to keep you and your staff healthy. And again, you can go to Kent Biz Radio or businessradio.co.uk and all that. It will be there.
Fantastic. I want you to have a look at this. It's an exciting new initiative from Zoe Cairns and the team at ZC Social Media. It's their Growth Academy membership site. The ZC Academy is led by international social media trainer and consultant Zoe Cairns and her team. It's a training community for small businesses, entrepreneurs and social media managers. It's a membership site all about social media and digital. The Academy is full of in-depth training, live Q&A calls, planning sessions and much more to help you plan, create and grow your social media and to get results. If you want to find out about it, you can go to their website, which is www.zcsocialmediaacademy.com. That's www.zcsocialmediaacademy.com.
And the Kent Community Foundation has a coronavirus emergency fund, and they've awarded loads of money to about 314 charities and community groups supporting vulnerable adults, children, young families and young people and the elderly across Kent and Medway. So Josephine McCartney, who is the chief exec of Kent Community Foundation, tells us all to have a look at the website, which is www.kentcf.org.uk/funding/coronavirus emergency fund. And
it's a very nice website they've got, actually.
Did you design it?
Yes.
Oh, well done. I like what he did there.
Yeah, did you see what he did there?
Yeah.
That was so cool.
And this Corona Emergency Fund has allocations which were split into three main areas of need. So there were 118 projects which supported vulnerable adults and 119 projects supporting children, young people and families, who receive a total funding of $379,514. And there are also 63 projects supporting the elderly and the vulnerable who have received also pots of money. So get onto that website and find out if you can get involved there.
I owe Richard a massive apology.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it seems by looking at Twitter
and all of his staff that they've got a new theme tune now, which is Walk Like an Egyptian.
Yeah, I have noticed that as well.
Yeah. We've got so many memes and GIFs and references to Walk Like an Egyptian, and most of your staff are singing it right now online too.
They must be doing that sand dance.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're all doing it.
Sorry about that, Richard.
I do apologise. Sorry for that.
Yes, thanks for that.
Great song. Well, I think something to do with that lead singer where all the men went wild about her, Suzanne somebody or other.
Yeah, well, there's a few pictures of her on here now.
Yeah. The men used to go barmy about her. She was very sweet.
Yeah.
Confidence in Canterbury's future has seen plans submitted for the multi-£1 million development, redevelopment of an important city centre site, including the former Nason's department store. Biggleston Yard, named after the historic family-based business that once operated on the site, is the new retail, commercial and housing-led regeneration scheme proposed by Setha Group, the London-based property development company. There's a £30 million investment proposal submitted to KCC, Canterbury City Council, including a covered retail arcade and market hall, as well as restaurants linked to the new public squares and open space. Which will be, you can get in there from the little high street, just near Fruitworks, Paul Andrews.
It's right next door.
Yeah, there's going to be 33 residential units and some serviced apartments. We'd all like a butler, wouldn't we? I would love a butler. I've actually got some chocolate on my sofa and I'm just terrified of how I'm going to get it off. New sofa.
You got what?
My new husband keeps dropping bougie chocolate on the nice, very nice cotton linen sofa. I don't know how to get it.
And you think a butler would help?
I think a butler would sort it.
A butler would know how to get the chocolate stains off?
Yeah, that's what they do. Okay. So you can go and find out more about this.
See, I would have just bought stain remover, but there you go. Hire a butler and get him to bring his own.
Because if I put the wrong thing on, it's going to bleach.
Yeah. How the other half live? I don't know.
Yeah. You can go to www.locatingkent.com, Biggleston Yard, /plans submitted to find out more about that.
Fantastic. Take advantage of our family business discovery workshop. You can join the lovely Anita Brightley Hodges for an inspiring motivational day for you to work on the future of your family business. Whether you work with your cousins, uncles, grandparents, in-laws, all scenarios will benefit. This is a day just for you. If you want to find out more, go to www.familybusinessplace.com/discovery workshop. That's www.familybusinessplace.com/discovery workshop.
And, it's the FSB Kent again. They're very prolific today. Mm. And they say they're absolutely thrilled to be sponsoring this year's virtual apprenticeship graduation ceremony on the 2nd of October. And you can go to www.kandmapgrad.org. Great idea that, to support our lovely apprenticeships. Let's have more of them. And also, of course, the Canterbury Festival, much loved, is going to go ahead this autumn despite coronavirus. Organisers have confirmed that the Canterbury Festival is still set to go ahead this autumn despite the pandemic. And whilst many of the city's major events, including its Christmas ice rink, which Paul was going to star in his tutu, the Marlowe pantomime, he was also going to star in.
Oh, no, I wasn't.
behind you. And the Canterbury Pride have all been cancelled. But we're very pleased, is still going on. And it'll be the Canterbury Festival hashtag.
Cool. The Kickstart Scheme, a groundbreaking initiative to support 16 to 24-year-olds into work, has been launched by the government. All employers, irrespective of size and sector, can offer any young person claiming universal credit a six-month work placement that will be paid for by the government. The Kickstart Scheme will be delivered by the Department for Work and Pensions and will initially be open until December 2021. With the option of being extended. Kickstart jobs must be new and of good quality. Government will pay 100% of the age-relevant national minimum wage, national insurance and pension contributions for 25 hours a week. Employers will be able to top up this wage, while the government will also pay employers £1,500 to set up support and training for people on a Kickstart placement, as well as helping pay for uniforms and other setup costs. If you want to find out more information for employers on the scheme, it's available at gov.uk.
Oh, the Business Bunker. Richard might be interested in this. Did you know, listener, the Business Bunker, hashtag B Bunker, Radio Show is pleased to partner with KO _ Digital in September. And they are Kent's leading tech agency, and they help ambitious companies that want to grow, succeed through the best use of digital technology. And you can find out more by going to ko.digital.
You're right. Absolutely. You're right. Actually, that is interesting. You're right.
Yeah. Slip that in.
You didn't know that, did you?
No.
he doesn't write the press releases, probably. 3ws.kentinvictachamber.co.uk. There is some business recovery support there. So go onto the website and kentinvictachamber.co.uk. Put in a /business-recovery-support program. It's a free business recovery support program available to all businesses in Kent and Medway, thanks to funding from KCC and some local authorities. So that's really important. We're running short of time, but go onto that website and find out, and they'll help you identify the critical issues facing your business and assist.
Fantastic. I've had a email from HMRC. And they say there's changes to the coronavirus job retention scheme that started from the 1st of September, which mean that employers will now need to fund 10% of furloughed employees' usual wages for the hours they do not work and continue to pay their national insurance and pension contributions. Make sure you have the latest information by joining a live webinar. Extension to the coronavirus job retention scheme and flexible furlough webinar will provide an overview of the scheme, including flexible furloughing, examples of how to work out the amount you can claim, and the changes that are coming in for September and October. We'll also share information on the job retention bonus, including how to check if you're eligible. If you haven't been able to join our popular webinar about the coronavirus statutory sick pay rebate scheme, more dates have now been added to get the latest information on who can claim, who you can claim for, how to make a claim, and what you may be entitled to, and more. You can ask questions during all of our live webinars using the on-screen text box. One of the nice things about this is you can find lots of different dates for these. So if you go into the government website, you can specify a date that you want to participate in a webinar, and you can do
That's good.
So they're basically rolling webinars. If you want to find out more about it or register for one of the webinars or pick a time or day, if you go to www.gov.uk/government/HM Revenue Customs. That's gov.uk/government/HM Revenue Customs.
There's a meeting of Marsh Network online. It's 10:30 a.m. next Wednesday the 16th. And it's in the Zoom room, so you can book. They say that's essential. Please go to marshnetwork.co.uk. Oh, they have an app. Probably Richard designed it and his team.
Yeah, do you think he did? He could well have done. Yeah. He's done most of the stuff around here, to be honest.
Marsh
Network. They are Kent's leading technical agency, after all.
Exactly. True. So you can sign up at marshnetwork.imobile.one for your little app thing there as well.
Your little app thing. She sounds like Dame Everidge, doesn't she? Your little possums. I've got a little app for this.
Eucalyptus.
So your eucalyptus leaves cutting in there, isn't it? Yeah.
The Digital Skills Partnership from the Southeast Local Enterprise, just ignoring him, listener, partnership has partnered with Coursera to provide free online learning resources to 10,000 users across the Southeast. More than 4,000 courses available to those facing redundancy, who are on furlough, or those looking to reskill to enter a new industry. I need to send this. My massage lady, who helps me with my shoulder.
Oh.
Yeah, she's. I have to only be face down at the moment, which is annoying. But, I have an impingement in my right shoulder. It's very painful. So
you're a bit of a mess, really, aren't you, when all's said and done?
I think, really, it's to do with our age. Everything sort of starts
Don't include me in that,
falling off. It's because I did years of backstroke. I mean, you try and be fit and healthy, and then you've impinged your bloody right shoulder forever. Anyway, so her husband has been made redundant. So and he's quite, you know, low in mood.
Oh, that's not
so
good.
So I've told him about you and jobs in Kent. But I think he might need some help on...
We say he's worse. Yeah. Get chin up, you could be Paul.
I have said that he might need some help with CVs and things, because he's been in a job for 100 years, I guess.
So,
what was that? The Digital Skills Partnership.
Can I read one?
Southeastlep.com, our delivery skills, digital skills, partnership, free online learning. You may.
Thank you. Jenner Group, that's the construction company from over there in Folkestone, are delighted to promote the forthcoming Shetway Sports Trust Charity Golf Day. They're the main sponsor of the event for the third year running, and we're delighted that the Trust are able to proceed with the day, which will, of course, adhere to all enhanced safety measures, heightened hygiene and social distancing to allow them to raise vital funds to continue the amazing work they do. The day will be held on Friday, the 11th of September, that's this Friday, at the glorious Broom Park Golf Club, that's just outside Canterbury. £40 a person, and the format is Texas Scramble. It's a relaxed and enjoyable day, and I'm sure even more welcome this year as a chance to get back out there networking in a safe manner. That's sent by the lovely Ella Brocklebank, and you can find out about the work of the Shetway Sports Trust and also book your place on the golf day by going to shepwaysportstrust.org. That's the website, shepwaysportstrust.org.
This is a good one. Check if you're eligible for the Coronavirus Small Business Grant Fund. There's a small business grant fund, and it supports SMEs and rural businesses in England with their business costs during coronavirus. There's still more than 1 billion of grant money available for SMEs from local authorities across England. You can go to www.gov.uk/guidance/ check if you're eligible for the Corona Small Business Grant Fund. That sounds amazing. If you're a small business and you're rural, get on there.
Cool. A big shout out to Telcare Limited. They said, really interesting interview with Richard from KO Digital. Telcare are the telecom systems providers over there on the Medway City Estate in Rochester.
And they've been listeners from day one.
They have indeed.
Yeah. There's also lots of business loans and funding. Kent and Medway Business Fund, 0% loans. We all love a 0% loan. Between 50,000 and 500,000 for SMEs and medium-sized businesses. Innovation loans, again, a 0% loan to SMEs in Kent and Medway. And a start-up loan. Marsh Business Boost Loans. The scheme offers 0% interest loan support to small and micro businesses and startups with the potential for growth in Romney Marsh. Details of that will go onto the Kent Business Radio website. I would all be there.
Absolutely. I'm just trying to catch up with everything. Crystal Healing Bags, loving the show. My radio is red hot.
Cool. She needs healing. Quickly. All those radio waves. I've got lots of things, but they're quite long, some of them. So,
well, you've got time to read one of them at
local least. Local business owner Tara Humphrey backs a scholarship fund to support BAME healthcare professionals pursue their leadership careers. And to find out more about this, it's a scholarship which will provide grants that can be used towards a training course, a mentor or a coach. And the full details and the eligibility criteria of how to apply can be found at thcprimarycare.co.uk/scholarship. And so have a look on there. It's to help black, well, Tara herself says there's a black female, an SME owner operating in the field of healthcare. I want to support professionals passionate about making their mark in this amazing yet challenging sector, just like I'm thriving. So she's aiming really for helping careers in the BAME healthcare professional in leadership positions.
Fantastic. I had another tweet from Local Desks. They say, thank you for the shout out and for a really interesting show on the Business Bunker, which was brilliantly relevant to what we're doing as a local startup. It's really good to have this local business level support. Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad you're enjoying the show.
I am. Kent Deaf Children's Society have said, we could never have imagined what this year would bring with children missing out on their GCSEs and A-levels and the challenges of homeschooling. And we know that so many deaf children have faced hurdles bigger than most in trying to learn from home, with ongoing difficulties of video calls, online learning, which did not take account of their needs and especially missing their school friends. And this is KDCS.org, of which you're a...
I'm the president.
You're a president. We must bow towards you. Our award for educational achievement is the perfect opportunity to nominate a special child who has shown dedication against the odds and has faced these challenges head on and had their own successes regardless of the difficulties. And again, we had some tweets before from Sally Laker about the masks that you can see lips.
Yeah, yeah, the transparent masks.
So I think we should all get those, because if you're smiling at someone, yeah, they can't tell.
Well, for lots of deaf people do use basic lip reading as, yeah, as part of their ability to carry on. I have to tell you this just because it's naughty. I finally got my hearing aid.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Right, and I put it on, and I could hear what people were saying to me, so I took it straight off and I refused to wear it again. I don't want to listen to all that nonsense.
How good is it?
What?
How good is it?
What?
Because my mum won't ever wear hers, it drives me nuts.
Yeah, the trouble, I put it on and it worked, but everything was just so loud. I'm just not used to everything being so loud.
You've
and it kind of hurt.
For years.
It kind of hurt, and I turned it down so low that it was pointless having it. So
Do you get all the background noise and that?
Yeah, I can hear. We've got lots of golden eagles and things, I think they are, that feed on the bird table in our garden, and I could hear them squawking and all kinds. Yeah.
Aren't they just sparrows?
Probably.
Peregrine,
yeah,
falcons.
That's the trouble. The hearing aid magnifies everything.
You can get Bluetooth ones, can't you, now or something?
Yeah.
I don't know how that works.
Yeah, you can. And mine's a USB chargeable one. And
my mum's driving me mad not wearing hers. I wish she would. There's a snapshot of the county's economic recovery following the impact of the health crisis. It's been launched, providing a host of data on how businesses are responding to the challenges. And you can go to kent.gov.uk about the council, information and data, facts and figures about Kent, economy and employment, and have a look at that data about the economic recovery dashboard.
I've got lots of stuff, three things that are happening with the Federation of Small Business and some other stuff to tell you about. I did make reference to it earlier, but I'll give you the full details now. There's a Maximise Your Membership with What's In It For Me meeting tomorrow, manana, the 9th of September, from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Now more than ever is the time to make sure you're making the most of your FSB benefits. If you want to register, if you're a member and you want to register for that webinar, it's fsb.org.uk/event-calendar/FSB Kent. What's in it for me? So that's fsb.org.uk/event-calendar/FSB Kent. What's in it for me?
Apprenticeships will be celebrated, confirms the organising group. And this is the lovely Alison Palmer at fsb.org.uk. And it's going to be 2nd of October, these celebrations. And the Wirebelt chairman and project team member, Paul Winter, says, due to COVID, like so many other people, we've had to have a look at future plans and events. Last year, we were lucky to congratulate 100 apprentices. Oh, this is the apprenticeship one again. Mm. In Rochester Cathedral. So, of course, this year they're going to have a virtual one. So you can nominate any apprentice who has successfully completed their qualification at any level or discipline. I can see out the corner of my eye, my left eye, that Richard is killing little fruit flies for us.
Yeah. I actually got it this time.
He's like
did
human,
you get it? Shot.
Like
nice
human,
one, Richard.
So please nominate any apprentices and go on to alison.palmer@fsb.org.uk. Her email, you can email their name and apprenticeship level. So they can be nominated by their employer. Well done.
That was the inaugural event was held last year. It's a fantastic event. I was lucky enough to co-host it in Rochester Cathedral. There were 100 apprentices that received their graduation. So basically, it was like a degree graduation ceremony. They all had capes and mortarboards, and they got their scrolls for completing their apprenticeships. And we had an audience of 600 people. So I'm glad they're doing it again this year. It's a bit of a shame that it can only be done online, but it's good, and we'll be back next year, I'm sure, with a physical event.
Yeah, I think we're going to see more apprentices, don't you? We need them.
We need lots and lots of apprentices, and of course, with the universities not really going back, I think a lot of people will kind of reassess their choices over what they do, you know, and maybe do an apprenticeship level 6 or 7 degree rather than stay at home, you know, because without being funny, a lot of the rationale behind spending your $9,000 a year at university is the whole community part of being at university. Yeah. And if that's not there, why don't...
Well, it's the growth, isn't it? Going to uni. I didn't go to uni, but neither did you. But
I didn't go to school. I didn't go to university.
No, well, I left at 14 and a half. But
I didn't even bother to start.
The way that I can see, apart from the, you know, threshers where they just drink and shots and things like that, it does expand. It must expand you socially.
Yeah, of course it does.
Confidence-wise. So, it's going to be very...
Take it from me. You can't remember any of it.
It's all a blur. Where did you go, Richard?
Which I went to...
can't remember.
He doesn't know. Yeah.
I went to two. Went to Queen Mary in London and then Brighton.
Right, OK, cool.
In Sussex, obviously.
Yeah, Brighton, that says it all, doesn't it? You know. You were probably under that little pier, you know.
Quite often, as we all know, the COVID-19 situation has hugely affected every person, family and business across the world, with everyone needing the help and support of their neighbours and community. In an effort to help support local, we have reinvigorated the Love Tenterton card, with many Chamber of Commerce members creating new offers and promotions for you to enjoy. From beauty, set price lunches, pet supplies and legal costs to dry cleaning and roller blinds, there is something for everyone, whether you'd like to dine out, refurb your home, clean the curtains, install a new sound system or treat your pet. And you can find out about it by going to ilovetenterton.co.uk.
And you can enter the BEAMS summer virtual raffle so we can support more families of disabled children that are in need this summer or autumn now. So devastating effect on vulnerable families in Kent this summer, and many have been unable to leave their homes, which has led to extreme distress and in some cases a family breakdown. You can now enter the BEAMS summer virtual raffle and show your support. It's just £2 a ticket to enter. You can purchase them by going to wearebeams, B-E-A-M for mother, S for sugar, .enthuse.com/virtual raffle. Great prizes. There's highlights done at the hair salon, the florist £25 voucher, nails Paul Andrews £20 voucher, Davenport's hair and beauty Paul Andrews. Bella,
why are you telling me this? You think you're trying to subtly tell me I need to sort myself out?
You can have a little polish. Fruit and vegetable hamper from Stanhill Farm Shop, Wilmington. Lots of prizes. Closing date is 30th of September. Draw date is 1st of October. And you can contact, if you want to offer a prize, I guess, fundraising at wearebeams, B-E-A-M for mother, S for sugar, .org.uk. And you can give them a little phone if you could, very old-fashioned, 01-322-521049. What's better than having a little natter with someone on the phone?
Absolutely. Dealing with employee COVID anxiety. There's a webinar tomorrow, Wednesday the 9th of September, between 10 and 11 a.m., how demonstrating good controls regarding employee health surveillance can help business owners get their employees back to work safely and productively. If you want to join that, if you go to fsb.org.uk/event calendar/ dealing with employees. That's fsb.org.uk/event calendar/ dealing with employees.
Big hello to Ibiza Fitness Food. Hello, they say from their professional kitchen. Our lovely chefs are cooking up healthy food, macro, to challenge you to lose weight or to gain weight if you need.
I need to gain weight.
IBZ Fitness Food, I think it is. I'm taking off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But they deliver all through the UK, Paul Andrews.
Do they?
Yeah, you could have a little snifter of it.
I could. Yeah, I like their food. It's good.
That and a bit of licorice. To round
absolutely
up.
yeah can and baked yogurt obviously. Oh, I'm gonna go straight home and put a yogurt pot in the oven. I really am.
Yeah, that's gonna go well.
What have we got here? Oh, five foundations to thrive. Top tips to bolster your business, Thursday the 17th of September, 9:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. Our expert panel will give you their advice on risk management, business planning, continuity planning, cyber security and protecting your cash flow. It's a free webinar, www.fsb.org.uk/five foundations to thrive.
Cyber security, so important. I get so many fishers, whatever they're called.
Fishers.
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 You're us fishing me.
That's cod.
Yeah, one from Revolut saying, you know, and one yesterday saying that I think it was HMRC or government were investigating me, and if I didn't answer the text, I'd be arrested.
Yeah, well, that one's real. Comment. Yeah, that one's a real one, isn't it? Yeah, I've seen that. Right, we've reached the end of another show. I want to say a huge thank you to our two guests, Mr. Richard Pilton of KO Digital.
Absolute pleasure.
Check their website out, ko.digital. To Meredith Powell, valuespeaker.com. Thank you so much to both our speakers and to this week's show sponsor, Fit for Trade. We'll be back with another show next week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker